VentureCast.
Jeb, ask your question about Toronto and Ontario. Go.
Well, so one of the problems with this podcast is our general lack of knowledge.
50 years of music with 50-year-old white guys.
Fellas, what is going on? It is the artist in residence portion of the 50 Years of Music with 50-year-old white guys podcast. And we have Adam Moore. Adam Maris.
That's hilarious. Yeah, I can actually see the little hamster in your head practicing and failing.
I blame
like the
my two,
like the little gerbils inside, like, I'm in charge. No, I get to talk.
Adam Maris, how are you, sir?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
You have an incredible burden on your shoulders. You are our Toronto expert on the entire Toronto music scene, music history. Can you take that pressure?
I'm going to give it my best shot.
Okay. Are you currently a 50-year-old white guy?
I aspire to be a 50-year-old white guy. I'm 43, so like...
Nice.
43.
I remember 43.
Oh, God. Those
oiled, oiled joints and everything. It
those
was great.
So, Adam, you currently are working at one of the great venues in North America, Massey Hall, correct?
Absolutely correct.
Can
yes.
Can you tell our audience about Massey Hall and the sure. kind of history it holds for Toronto?
Yeah, absolutely. Historic venue. Massey Hall was built in 1894, which I think it was 4 years after Carnegie Hall.
Okay.
And it's got a tremendous amount of history. A number of major live recordings produced there. And in its early days, it was like a major hub in Toronto and North America. Like we had Caruso and the likes of Helen Keller and Winston Churchill have performed there. Yeah. But yeah, so it's got a long history dating back a long way. And it was recently finished. We recently finished a major renovation.
Yeah.
So it's
big
been,
time.
Yeah, big time reno, $184 million.
Woo!
Yeah.
Yeah.
How big is Massey Hall? What's the capacity?
It's about 2,500, 2,600.
That's people. Like the perfect size. Yeah. It's like the Beacon in New York or the Warfield in San Francisco, or it's like that kind of size.
Totally. Oh. Very intimate. Like the balconies wrap around. So like from the stage, you feel sort of like hugged by the audience.
That's awesome. Oh,
that's really cool. Well, who
and it's known for its like amazing acoustics.
Yeah, I have the Neil Young Massey Hall recording that he just put out, and it's pretty startlingly good.
So who's someone you've seen there, like say in the last year?
I mean, I've seen every show since I started working there.
Give me an artist. Give me somebody.
Okay, well, we had Pavement two nights in a row. Okay. Ringo, Elvis Costello.
Oh, wow.
Did you have a night where Elvis could hear himself, or a night where he just sung from muscle memory?
Because he actually sounded great, and I had a cool experience just walking backstage before sound check, and I walked out of like our kitchen area, and there he was, like walking in front of me with his back towards me, pretty cool. And then he started singing, and it was just me in the hallway, and I was like, "Holy!" It was one of the holy shit moments.
Oh, that's awesome!
Very cool experience.
That is really cool. Jeb, ask your question about Toronto and Ontario. Go.
So one of the problems with this podcast is our general lack of knowledge. I found myself a little confused about how much of Ontario Toronto lays claim to. Like how I assume Toronto is a pretty central hub for culture, but I was wondering if you have to be from Toronto proper for Toronto to embrace you, or fans who are 50, 100 miles out or greater are seen as part of some other lesser scene?
Let's answer it with like, for example, like Tragically Hip is a band people might know, but they are not claimed by Torontonians as a Toronto band. They are from Kingston, Ontario, which is a small town outside of Toronto. So I think there's a lot of gray area. I think that like there are times where I won't know. I'll just have to like double check. Like, is this really a Toronto band? But realistically, Toronto's like a major city. So I think a lot, if you're an artist from outside of Ontario, at a certain point, you're going to have to move to Toronto. Because okay. that's where the gigs are.
Yeah. But you actually have like a little outsider looking in status for a while until you cut your teeth. Like you can't, I mean, that's kind of interesting that even the Tragically Hip are still
provincials. I don't think the Hip would want to say that they're from Toronto. They're probably proud of being from Kingston, right?
Gotcha.
And Toronto is the hub of the music business itself in Canada. Like all the publishing companies and recording companies are in Toronto.
I would say Toronto and Montreal.
Okay.
Montreal's awesome. Got some. I don't know if Montreal is on your list, but Montreal is pretty amazing.
Uh-oh. I was just noticing that in 2 weeks we have Wisconsin, but I don't think I have Montreal.
You have Wisconsin and not Montreal. Tim makes the list. I have no, like, I am all in on Tim's random list.
Grew up watching Happy Days. And so I saw how central music was to their lives in Milwaukee.
We're going to definitely cover Donnie Most's solo record. The guy who played Ralph Mouth. He made a record in 78.
Adam, here are these questions we have for all of our artists in residence, just to get us a better understanding of your hometown. Which venue, and you got to take Massey Hall out of this, or you could even say which area of the city has had the best music scene, either when you were growing up or currently into adulthood?
I'd say like the areas, if I could do a strip, like there's a Queen Street strip, which is like a major downtown street that has a lot of live music venues. Couple in particular, like there's a Cameron House, a bar called Cameron House, where a lot of people started out and they still like seven nights a week with free live music, like Pass the Jug, but like it's a small, cool spot, really good quality, like level of musicians is very high, I think.
Yeah.
There's another newer venue that opened up down the street called Drum Taverna. And it focuses on diversity. So like you could go in on a given night and see like any kind of world music.
Oh, interesting.
Also like singer-songwriters, but mostly like diverse world types of bands. I think one of the things about Toronto is that it's super diverse, like as a city. So that's a cool venue where you might see like anything on any given night.
All sorts of musical influences coming into Toronto.
Totally. The other thing is like Toronto is a huge city. Like I think it's the fourth largest in North America.
Mm-hmm.
So we're fortunate enough to get like all the major tours come through.
Great. Yeah, we're talking about New York.
Yeah, similar to me. I mean, we're not New York. It's a tough one to follow, but I mean, no city is really New York.
But you got a lot of people who are going to hit Toronto as they come through on their tour.
Yeah, like any major tour is coming through, most likely, unless they have like some drug issue they can't get over the border.
So I actually have three friends in touring bands who at the border in Niagara Falls got turned around for some very low grade things, but like I actually know a couple of tours that fell apart for 4 or 5 days because they couldn't get to the Toronto gig. That's so funny you mentioned that, but they are no joke at the border. Like they definitely sweep the van and ask a lot of questions and you really have to be a good person to get to play the Toronto gig.
At Massey Hall, we had a band like about a month ago who will remain unnamed, but their truck, evidently someone didn't realize that their driver was not vaccinated, the truck driver. So basically they had to like scramble to find a new driver at the border, and the truck basically didn't arrive until like half an hour before they were supposed to go on.
Wow.
And like everybody's just sitting around waiting. We postponed the doors by half an hour and like, yeah. So, but the show went on, everything worked out.
Excellent. Nice. Excellent.
It was a very stressful backstage area.
Well, we have so part of the podcast is we have to pick our favorite acts or venues or moments from Toronto, but we're just three outsiders. What do we know? You're the insider. Who's You've been immersed in Toronto culture. Who's the biggest musical star? Who was the biggest musical star when you were growing up? And who are your personal favorites right now at the age of 43?
That's what I want to know, is who don't we know about who we should? Yeah.
Well, like the biggest ones, of course, which you know would be, you know, your Drakes and your Neil Young and the band, if we get to claim them.
Okay.
Which I hope we do, because that's probably the best band from Toronto ever.
Okay.
But there are some other ones, like the one that comes to mind that people might not know about is a band called the Sadies.
Okay.
I've just been listening to a lot of Sadies recently because it's actually kind of a tragedy, but the sort of the main songwriter and predominant voice of the band was a guy named Dallas Good, who came from like a rich musical family. He passed away.
Oh.
Sadly, this past year. But Sadies are like, just an unbelievable band. I guess like if anyone did know them, they backed up Nico Case and Andre Williams. They played with Neil Young.
Okay.
But their own records are amazing. And I have a fond place in my heart for a band called the Sadies. If there's one band more people should know about, it's the Sadies.
All right. I'm on it. Jeff, do you know?
Yeah, I know the name. I actually don't know their music very well, though, to be honest. So right. I notice you're not mentioning Rush, which I think for most Americans is the go-to, I know a Canadian band.
Yeah, sure.
But I don't know if that's personal preference or just are they so ubiquitous that you almost forget to mention them?
No, that's fair. I should. I don't know who they bump out if I had between Neil Young and the band. Probably neither of them.
Well, but yeah, Rush would be over in the corner playing video games anyway. You wouldn't have to bump them out at all.
Rush actually was the first like huge concert that I saw at Maple Leaf Gardens in Toronto. I think or something like that. I was pretty into it at the time.
How could you not be?
Yeah.
Hometown heroes conquer the world. I'd be pretty into them too.
Now, Adam, do you have your own artistic pursuits? I see all the records in the background. So like Jeff and Ben, are you a big record store guy?
It's funny. As far as artists in residence go, I do not consider myself an artist.
Artist in living.
I'm a consumer. But yeah, I did spend many years working in and managing record stores.
Okay.
So like probably more of a music nerd than an artist.
Well, I tell you, we
you're in good company. Don't worry.
We had a special podcast of Record Store Day where we celebrated record stores. And I had no idea that both Jeff and Ben kind of grew up tracking down vinyl and just
I grew up haunting used record stores racks. Yeah, that's basically where I learned how to be an adult.
This is probably a very profitable hobby in
record. Yeah, right, exactly. It's really paid off.
Yeah, so Adam, you had to deal with guys like Ben and Jeff coming into your store and asking you incredibly specific questions.
Man, I had some great customers. But yeah, you get some real, I don't know about these two, but you do get some real characters in the record store. And in fact, there's a cult classic record, like a vinyl documentary. It's called Vinyl.
Uh-huh.
It was by this director, Alan Zweig.
You
should write that if you're interested in records, and that's one to check out.
Right.
And anyways, the Toronto filmmaker, and he did a documentary called Vinyl. It's like a cult classic, and it featured characters, let's just say, from the Toronto music and surrounding community.
Records.
So he goes into their homes and asks them about records.
And I was too shy to talk when I first started going. I would just like wander around and figure out, you know, I only had enough money usually for one, so I'd like whittle it down from like 15 to 12 to 6 to 4 to 1. And I just was hoping I picked one that was cool enough that the guy wasn't like, didn't give me the eye roll when I bought it. That was really pretty much the extent of my maybe first 20 engagements with the record store clerks.
And did you do this? Did you like pick up the 12 and then like whittle them down to the one and then just leave them
No, I re. Oh no, I restocked. I'm a citizen of planet Earth.
Or did you like file them all back in the wrong places?
No, I did hide one once. I did when Dylan's when that Ten of Swords bootleg came out right after Biograph, this 10 album boxed bootleg of like at that point like all of the unreleased Dylan that anybody knew about from 61 to 66. It was called the Alternate Biograph. And they had it for $50, which in, you know, like 1985 was way more pocket money. So I hid it and then ran home and got the rest of my money and came back and got it from where it was hidden. But that's the only time I ever messed with the racks.
That's good. Just out of curiosity with these three gentlemen that I have here right now, currently in the Plain household, there are zero records. Ben, do you know how many records there are in the Barton household?
I don't have a count, but my storage unit got broken into and I lost everything from the middle of the Rolling Stones to Z.
Oh.
So I have my original record collection from A to the middle of R.
Oh.
Ouch.
Isn't the whole point of a storage facility is that it's protected?
Yeah, it was funny. It was like kind of wired in. And they got through the chicken wire and they could only reach some of it. And they just like pulled out what they could get. And it was in various crates. And so they got that crate, but the rest of it still exists.
All right. Jeff, how many?
A couple hundred. I scaled way back.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Adam?
I got the most, I guess. I got like 700-800. I actually have mostly, now I sound like a hoarder. I have mostly CDs, so I have many, many more CDs than records.
Okay.
I used to have an enormous CD collection, but I digitized and went all digital. It took me like 5 years, but I'm down to like 500 CDs, which for me is like, feels like a modest collection. So,
well, Adam, we got one final question for our artist in residence tonight. It could be something from your childhood, the teenage years, the 20s or now, but what is your favorite musical memory you associate with Toronto? What do you got for us?
I didn't really have a chance to think about this one. I guess just whatever shows I saw in Toronto, I guess there's nothing specific to Toronto about it, but I guess I'm at an age where I got to go to Maple Leaf Gardens.
Uh-huh.
So, which was like where the Maple Leafs used to play, so a very old arena in Toronto.
Yeah.
And I saw a lot of good shows there. I think my favorite one was probably the BC Boys. I think it was 1994.
Great.
And I'm 43, so I was pretty young, and it was incredible. It was just incredible. Okay. I was like really into the BC Boys at the time.
Yeah. So
great scene.
So what year was that? 93?
I think
94. So you're probably teenage, what, 17?
15,
wow. Oh, that would be
fantastic.
That'd be a fantastic.
That must have been amazing
for a teenager.
I did see a lot of shows. Like I had a good chunk of years where I was, I had a full-time job that like paid decent and I was living at home.
Uh-huh.
And in those years, I just like spent all my money on music and going to concerts.
Yeah. So fun.
So I saw a lot in Toronto.
Yeah, I have these pockets where I'm like, why did I see all these shows these years? And then I didn't see it. It's like, oh, because I was alone and had no responsibilities. So there was ample opportunity to go out on a Tuesday night.
Oh, that is great. Well, Adam Maris, thank you so much for being on the podcast. Don't worry, I'll cut every time I butcher.
Oh, you better not. You better leave that.
I'm used to it. It's all good.
Adam Maris. Adam, thanks so much for being with us, man. It's a pleasure to meet you.
My pleasure.
Mile, are you ready to record our promo for season 2 of the Wanna Bet podcast?
David, have you ever seen a grown man naked?
Miles, we're not here to quote lines from Airplane. We're here to tell people that season 2 starts August 18th.
But I like Airplane.
I know you do, but Wanna Bet is a sports betting podcast. Each week we bet $1,000 on the NFL teams and games that we love.
Well, that sounds like fun.
It is fun. And last year you picked over 60% of your games correctly.
How'd you do?
We're not talking about that. We are telling people that they can find us every Friday. So no more movie quotes.
Roger.
Electricast. Electricast.
Welcome to Tuning Into Sound Wellbeing, where we harmonise your mind, body and soul. I'm Amanda, your sound therapy expert.
And I'm Stephen, the curious explorer uncovering the mysteries of sound.
Together we explore vibrations, frequencies and the power of sound therapy and tuning forks.
Discover ancient wisdom, reduce stress and tune into a healthier life. Subscribe to Tuning Into Sound Wellbeing today.
Electricast.